All right. Good evening, fellow Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney. Joining me tonight, long distance, is my co-host, Jim Hobgood. He's up in Charlottesville, settling in at John Paul Jones Arena. And, Hobbo, are you there?
I am here. Eyes here, as they say, from the bowels of John Paul Jones Arena, the courtesy of the media relations office, and, of course, Rich Murray. And he was kind enough to hook you up last week when you were over here for signing day, and here I am tonight in advance of the Virginia basketball game.
Well, very exciting. This is a great time to be a basketball fan for the university. And, you know, the Wahoos, in two respects, are basking in the glow of a lot of excitement these days. National Signing Day was a big day. Virginia had another stellar class, and I'm still reading more articles about Coach London and his staff, maybe one of the more underrated recruiting classes in the country, ranking somewhere around 25, 26, 27 in the country. And at the same time, the UVA basketball team hovering around number 19 in the country on the AP poll. So football and basketball both looking up these days, right, Hobbo?
Yeah, absolutely. Big game tonight, however, in Charlottesville. And I guess I was among those surprised to read that Virginia has lost six in a row to Wake Forest, because certainly in the last year or two, Wake hasn't been as good as they certainly were during many of the Skip Prosser years. So if Virginia is going to get where they want to get, which is the national NCAA tournament, and finish in the top four in the ACC, this is an absolute must-win tonight.
No doubt. And don't you think Tony Bennett has got the team focused a little bit on where Travis McKay is and C.J. Harris?
Well, you know, as we know with the Tony Bennett basketball team, the constant is going to be the defense. The question mark always is the offense. And on nights where they shoot the ball reasonably well, they can play with anybody in the ACC, probably anybody in the country. Where they don't shoot it very well, they struggle. So hopefully tonight will be one of those nights where the ball goes through the hoop.
Well, our engineer, Jesse, just gave me the thumbs up, and I understand that we have Gus Gerard, our first featured guest, joining us here momentarily. Just to give him a little bit of his due, certainly one of my all-time favorite forwards to play at the university. Played there with your buddy Barry Parkhill and, of course, you, Hobbo, and Wally Walker. Gus Gerard left a year early and went to play in the ABA and then transitioned over to the NBA and the Denver Nuggets, among a range of other teams in the NBA. And certainly one of the more acrobatic forwards Virginia's ever had, and probably the best leaper playing on the front line, at least until really the last 10, 15 years maybe. What do you say, Hobbo?
Absolutely. And, of course, the one trivia thing that a lot of people don't realize, he was also a high school teammate of mine coming from Laurel Highlands High School in Pennsylvania, 2 years behind me in high school, 2 years behind me in college, obviously. But as you say, just a gifted athlete, a great jumper. And had he not played in the ACC at the same time as David Thompson, I think there would have been a lot more recognition of his ability to jump through the rafters. But and the other thing I would tell you, I just looked up the stats. Gus's per-game average was 17.9 per game. Just to put that in context, Ralph Sampson's per-game average was 16.9.
Wow.
So now Gus played 2 years, and Ralph played four, but nevertheless, just shows you the offensive capabilities of Gus Gerard. So we should probably go ahead and bring him on the air.
Gus, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, and thanks for having me. It's good to hear Hobbo's voice, and you too, Frank, and thanks for all the nice things you guys just said.
Well, of course, Gus, you have to understand, when we have contemporaries of mine on, the primary role that you have is to explain to the audience how good Hobbo was.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I'd like to tell you the story about Hobbo, okay? Now, I was, as Jim said, I was 2 years behind him. So as a wide-eyed eighth and ninth grader, Jim used to live a couple miles from me, and he would always come up to the playground right near my home at Hatfield School. He would come up there with his brother, and I would sit there on the side and just watch him shoot about 150 jump shots constantly and never miss. And, like, he was my absolute hero. I mean, Hobbo was a stud, I'm telling you.
Well, Frank feels much the same way, I can tell you that.
But here's the thing that many Cavalier fans, and Hobbo, of course, is one of the great all-time Cavaliers, is that for many years growing up, he always wore these blue and white Duke shorts. In fact, his nickname was Duke Hopgood.
Uh-oh.
He was going to go to Duke and or Davidson when Lefty Driesell was there. Davidson was winning all those games. And all of a sudden, out of the blue comes Virginia, and Hobo takes off. And, of course, I followed him. But, he had the whole deal. All his notebooks were Duke Blue Devils or Davidson Wildcats. He had those blue and white shorts on forever. But, you know, the thing about Hobo was he was so great in high school and college. But he would shoot the ball from NBA three-point range. And I mean consistently at a high percentage. And there was no three-point line back there. But had there been, Hobo also would have been a prolific scorer of all time in high school and college.
Well, here's the thing. Gus is going to be on the show every week from now on.
Not unless he starts telling the truth.
Those were good days, though.
You know, there's still honor violations in Charlottesville. We have to be careful where we go with this.
On my honor as a UVA student, I did not lie about that.
But, Gus, I don't know how much do you of course, Virginia's been on ESPN and national TV recently. Have you seen any of the Virginia games recently?
Oh, absolutely. We get bombarded with a lot of Big Ten and SEC, and, of course, Baylor's doing real good this year, and UT's usually pretty good. So we get all those games here. But it's been great because, as you say, they have been on national TV, and I've got to catch up and see because I knew they were ranked, and I was following some stats on the Internet and stuff. And then I finally got to see them play four or five games. And, it was nice. It's nice to see Virginia basketball back. Is very competitive and right up there in the ACC with a couple breaks here and there and a couple big wins on their schedule that they have coming up. You know, they could be right in the thick of things. And the thing about it is the ACC is so good at the top that it's going to, you know, hopefully they can get one or two key marquee wins here and then show well in the tournament and in the ACC tournament, get a nice seed in the NCAA.
You know, it's interesting, and maybe you and I can blame it on our high school coach, Horst Taylor, but we were more concerned on the offensive end of the floor, but Tony Bennett plays great defense. What's your assessment of his team and the way they play?
Well, as you say, we played strictly zone in high school, but it hurt us when we got to the next level. But Tony Bennett's obviously a chip off the old block with his father, who is notorious for those kind of games. Their defense is good. They don't give up a lot of transition baskets. I heard a couple minutes of the show before I came on live when I was on hold, and I think it was Frank or you were saying that the offense is always a question. Of course, their defense leads to a lot of offense. I would like to see them push the ball a little bit more. The game at NC State that I watched, and they pushed the ball, they seemed to be pretty comfortable with it at times, and they were actually scoring some baskets and stuff. And, of course, it came down to the wire, and they got the win at NC State. But I was very impressed with the discipline the players have, how they run their sets. It's not the exact kind of game I would play, but it's nice to see them being so competitive and being back up there being talked about again.
Hey, Hobo, real quick, before we forget to do this, I did some more research last night on our guest, Gus Girard, here, and this is Who's Talking. Gus was inducted into the Fayette County Sports Hall of Fame, and the lead inductee in one of the earlier classes was Johnny Lujack. Mm-hmm. How about that for a big name, Hobo?
Yeah, well, Fayette County, you know, Western Pennsylvania, it's not necessarily the case, unfortunately, anymore, or certainly not to the same degree, but a lot of good athletes came out of Western Pennsylvania over the years, and certainly Gus, one of them, and very deserving of that recognition.
You know, one thing I did like about the picture in there was there's a picture of Gus in high school driving to the hoop. Looks like he's going to dunk it. He's wearing some old-style protective glasses. It's not quite George Mikan, but it's a good image.
Well, we didn't have goggles back then, Frank, you know, but and fortunately, when I was starting out, when I first started playing basketball, I was the clumsiest. I had size 16 shoes, which grew to 17. We had to play in those funky old Converses, constantly spraining ankles or whatever. But my eighth grade coach and ninth grade coach, Ed Gursky, said I used to trip over the foul lines, and I had stone fingers. I couldn't catch the ball, so during practice, he would make, while everybody was practicing, I had to stand over against a wall in Old South Union Gym and throw the ball off the cement and catch it for an hour before I was even allowed to practice. But I got a lot of good stuff from Coach Gursky and then, of course, Coach Taylor. And back to the Hall of Fame thing, though. Mm-hmm. The night I was in, well, of course, Chuck Muncy was another big-name football player. He was also a very good high school basketball player. Was from there, and Will Robinson, and Habbo, of course, I have a feeling someday will be up there, too, and well-deserving. But the night I went in, Bobby Baylor, the baseball player from Connorsville, Habbo, you remember him?
Absolutely, yeah.
And got a couple World Series rings and played, had a long career. And what was really quite an honor for me is I got to sit next to Vivian Stringer, who I didn't know was from German Township in Fayette County, and the coach, female coach at Rutgers.
Right.
And, you know, she was just awesome to talk to and be with that night, and it was just a great event. They're doing a great job with that.
Well, you know, very impressive sight.
Yeah, Gus, Frank always wants to talk about maybe a memory or two from your days as a Wahoo.
Okay, well, I think my greatest thrill, of course, back then, you know, you had to win the ACC tournament to go to the NCAA, so we never got a chance to do that because they were so stacked with Maryland and all their All-Americans in North Carolina up there in NC State with the tallest, the smallest, and the best with Monty Tal, Tom Burleson, and David Thompson, you know.
Well,
I described NC State as one guy was too tall or too big, one was too small, and one was too good.
Yeah, absolutely. And had the dunk rule been in college, David Thompson would have, I mean, he was doing all these dunks you see people doing now. I can remember at NC State, Coach Gibson, they had taken me out like about a minute before the half because I had two fouls and didn't want me to get a third one. And Monty Tal threw one of those back doors alley-oops to David. And David was only 6'4", and he jumped so high, the pass was off target, that he caught it in between his forearms and reached over and put it in the basket, not even in his hands, but in his forearms. And I just went, holy cow, what the heck was that? But David and I became really good friends and roommates for the Denver Nuggets, so it was quite a thrill to get to play with him after playing against him. And I can remember as freshman, our coach, Terry Truax, we had freshman teams back there. We weren't allowed to play varsity until the following year when Wally came in. And we were playing NC State, and they kept David relatively quiet in high schools because they didn't want him to get out of North Carolina. And he ended up going to NC State, and none of us had heard him because he never played in, like, the Dapper Dan or any major All-Star games. And Coach Truax told us, look, they got a guy on this freshman team named David Thompson, and if we can hold him under 50 tonight, we might have a chance to win. And we're going, yeah, who is David Thompson? Who is this guy? We never heard of him. My gosh. I mean, the first shot that Dan Bonner took, David jumped and caught it about halfway from about 10 feet away at its peak and threw it into about the 20th row of the stands. And I started laughing because I couldn't believe it. And then I got the ball one time on the post, and I turned, and I was able to hang in the air for pretty good hang time. And David went sky high to block my shot, and I was able to just kind of lay it on back of my shoulders, on my back of my head, and like till David came down, and then put it back up and laid it in. And David looked at me because I don't think anybody's ever done that to him before, and he kind of winked at me and smiled. It's like that was so thrilling for me. It was like, okay, you got game, all right, that's nice.
Well, Gus, you and Bonner were on opposite ends of the jumping skills. I think Bonner's vertical leap was about 1 inch.
Hey, my career was shortened because of having to practice against Dan Bonner.
you guys are going to bum poor Dan out.
Well, no, Dan's a great guy.
But he's a great guy. He was a great roommate my freshman year. And, you know, it was great seeing Dan. I've been back to Virginia a couple times to speak. I do a lot of speaking around the country. And I spoke at the Apple conference that UVA hosts in San Diego and Charlottesville each year, and had a wonderful time. And I was also brought back to speak at the University of Virginia at Newcomb Hall to the students, and I got to speak to the deans. Here I am sitting in a room with 21 deans of different colleges and schools in the University of Virginia, and I told my wife, I said, boy, the last time I've called in the dean's office, it wasn't good like this.
I think Franklin will probably call us for a break here soon. But just before we let you go, tell us a little bit about what you are doing now.
Okay. I became an alcohol and drug counselor. I came to Houston in 1993 after pretty much hitting the bottom. I had a lot of issues I went through and divorce and everything, and I was always a party guy, but I crossed over the line into the dark side and got addicted. And marijuana and alcohol and cocaine, and I bounced around basically almost homeless and burned my bridges everywhere. And I got a hold of John Lucas, who had a treatment center here in Houston, and I didn't know anything about treatment or anything. And John, I called John. He was coaching the Spurs at that time, and he asked me what was going on. I told him, and he said, can you come down and spend some time with me? And I said, well, John, I don't have any money or insurance or anything like that. He said, I didn't ask you that. I said, can you come down here and spend some time with me? And I said, yes, I can. And my sister bought me a one-way plane ticket to Houston. And she always says that was the best money she ever spent. And because it was May 26th of 93, and since that date, I haven't touched a drop of alcohol, marijuana, or cocaine. And got clean and sober, became a drug counselor, went back to school, got my counseling license. Retired from that a few years ago and became a consultant and recovery advocate here, where I go around and I speak on the NCAA Speakers Bureau, and to just anybody who really calls me and asks me if they can get me there, I can speak. And then we just opened up a brand new treatment center here in Houston called Kingwood Recovery Center. It's kingwoodrecovery.com, and it's a beautiful place. Kingwood, Texas, just gorgeous. We got a big mansion there that we converted into a rehab center, and it's a higher end rehab, but we help a lot of people, and that's my passion now, is to help other people as they help me. And so I try to give back whatever I can.
Absolutely, Gus. Frank's probably getting the high sign from the engineer to go to break here, but we got to have you back on, not only for more Hobo stories, but just you've been a great guest. So we wish you nothing but the best and look forward to having you back.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure. Give me a call or email anytime, okay?
Absolutely, all right. Gus. Take care.
Gus, tell everybody I said hi. You run into it, I know.
I absolutely will, Gus.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good luck tonight. Bye-bye.
All right, Jimbo, we got to head to break here. We're going to let you go. And, boy, that was an exciting interview.
It really was.
With Gus Gerard.
Yeah, good luck with the rest of the show. Tell Coach O'Connor, look forward to catching up with him soon when he comes back on the show.
Absolutely. All right, we're headed to break. This is Who's Talking. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We'll do our play of the game and some other things. Take care. All right, we're back. This is Frank Maloney, and you're listening to Who's Talking. Very excited to have Brian O'Connor, the head UVA baseball coach, joining us here in about 5 or 6 minutes or so. In the interim, we have Matt Shaver joining us. Matt is a member of the UVA Club of Richmond, and a member of the UVA Alumni Association. He's going to tell us about an exciting activity that they are involved with right now. It's a fundraiser, and it's a food fight with the Hokies. And Matt, are you there?
Sure am, Frank.
Very excited to have you on again tonight. As every year, you do a great job promoting this. Matt, go ahead and tell everybody the basics.
Okay, well, what we have is the 8th annual Hokies versus Who's Food Fight to benefit the Central Virginia Food Bank. Virginia leads the all-time score with 4 wins to Tech's 3. And what we do is use our alumni bases and fan bases to solicit food and monetary donations for the food bank. Last year, we collected what was the equivalent of about 50,000 meals, and we're hoping to double that this year.
Wow, that's exciting. Matt, I understand there's a new sponsor involved with the food fight.
There is. Martin's has stepped up as the title sponsor this year. And in addition to offering donation bins at the front of the stores, they're going to be using some display caps so that shoppers can find it easier to pick the foods that the food bank needs most. And most importantly, and this is new this year, they're going to offer customers a chance to donate at the register. So either a Hokie or a Who fan can walk right up while they're buying their groceries, let them know how much they want to donate and to which side, and they'll take all those donations there at the register.
All right, what is the opening day for this contest?
It kicks off next Monday, the 13th, and that is the online portion starts, and the website is HokiesVersusWhos.com. We'll take online donations from the 13th through the 29th, and then bins will be in the Martin stores on the 20th through the 26th.
That's exciting. Well, Matt, we're going to cut you loose, and we'll promote this every week going forward until the contest is over. But you've been doing a great thing, as well as our Hokie counterparts.
Great. Thanks so much, Frank. We appreciate the support.
All right. Take care. Thank you, Matt.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Let's do our LeClaire Ryan Play of the Game. It's sponsored, as everyone knows, by LeClaire Ryan, wonderful founding sponsor of our show. We selected the men's recent road game at Florida State. Just past the midway point of the second half, UVA trailed by 12 points. However, the Hoos rallied quickly, and maybe the best sequence in that rally, Malcolm Brogdon drilled an open three-pointer, and then Jontel Evans followed it up with a nice mid-court steal and a length-of-the-court drive dribble layup, and that actually gave UVA the lead, which was pretty exciting. Although UVA did not win the game, I felt like UVA showed a lot of heart, and hopefully that'll pay off in the upcoming games later this season. Excuse me. Anyhow, we're headed to our next break, and we're going to bring on Coach Brian O'Connor with us when we return. Stay with us.